Once again this morning, you'll notice in your bulletin that there are some teaching notes for the message today, and I would invite you to take those out and follow along and make notes as you feel led as we explore this wonderful passage from the first chapter of Jeremiah. Now, if you call the parsonage and we are not at home, you'll get a recording of Betsy's voice. This is the Keller's questioning machine. Who are you and what do you want? We'd love to know. Leave your answers at the beep. Over the years, we've gotten some interesting responses to that message. My friend Marlon Snyder once left this message: Betsy, I'm confused. I don't know who I am and I don't know what I want. Please call me right away. Sorry. Well, we heard that message some years ago and we thought it was so unique that we would include it there on our answering machine. And yet those questions can be answered at a much deeper level. And this morning, I want to ask you, who are you and what do you want? You know, these are questions that we all ask, I think. Who am I called to be? How does God intend to use my gifts? Not long ago, I read a devotional article that really got me thinking about this. The author wrote, "Imagine yourself being received into heaven. Your life is under review, and you are told that you have achieved that for which you were sent. You did it. You were faithful. How would you respond to the news? What is it that God made you for? What is your calling?" Well, here in Jeremiah chapter 1, the prophet remembers how he wrestled as a young man with what God made him for, what was his call. Jeremiah lived in a very different time and in very different circumstances than we do, and yet as we delve into the story, we find that God's word to Jeremiah is a word for every one of us here today. And the underlying message of this whole passage is number one in your notes. And that is that God calls every Christian. We're often tempted to think that God only calls the heroes of the Bible like Jeremiah, or God only calls pastors or church musicians or people who are part of a ministry somewhere. But the truth is that every one of us at our baptism received the call to ministry. You'll see a quote there in your notes from a commentator on this passage, James Howe, who writes this: "None of us will ever attain the rank of Jeremiah, but we too were called once upon a time." How long ago was that for you? Not merely in years, but in the heart. And has that raging fire dwindled to an ember? Maybe today, as we gather here, you are excited and energized for fulfilling your call. And if you are, that is a wonderful thing. But it could be that, like Jeremiah, you've realized that serving the Lord in this world is not easy. And you can become discouraged, complacent, even cynical sometimes. Well, wherever you and I are in relation to our call today, I invite you to hear God's word to Jeremiah, because it's a word for us as well. As we begin this story, we see, first of all, that God always makes the first move. Take a look at verses 4 and 5. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now there are three words in those two verses that describe Jeremiah, and they are words that I believe describe you and me as well. Those words are underlined in your notes, and the first word is the word new. God says to Jeremiah and to us, before I formed you, I knew you. In other words, you were created for God's service. Now, before Jeremiah knew God, God knew Jeremiah. And that statement turns everything around about how we often think about God. The word seeker has become a popular term in churches today. We say that seekers are people who are still on a spiritual quest to find God. And those who do not yet know Christ. And we talk about offering worship services and ministries that are seeker-friendly. We want our worship to be accessible to everyone, even those who've never been in a church service before. And we want our ministries to be relevant, because our mission is to help those who do not yet know Christ to come into a relationship with Him. There are seekers all around us in the world today, looking for answers to life's problems, looking for peace for their souls. So being seeker-friendly is really, really important for the church today. But the reality of our life is that we do not have to seek God as if God is on some distant planet and we have to go on a journey to find Him. God's word to Jeremiah declares that long before we can ever seek God, God already knows us. Jeremiah's life didn't start with Jeremiah. Jeremiah's salvation didn't start with Jeremiah. Jeremiah's call didn't start with Jeremiah. When Jeremiah entered the world, God's story was already long underway. And God created Jeremiah at the right time and in the right place according to God's great work in the world. Now it's a different time and a different place for us, but the same is just as true for you and me as it is for the prophet Jeremiah. You were created to serve God in this time, in this place. I would invite you to read with me one of my favorite portions of Scripture. It's printed there in the bulletin, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. Let's read that together. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. That's a prayer that we could offer each and every day to remember that God made us. And God made us for a purpose. Now the second word God uses to describe Jeremiah and us is the word consecrated. Before you were born, God says, I consecrated you. Now, to be consecrated means to be set apart or chosen. So you are, in other words, set apart for God's service. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the modern translation of the Bible that some of you are familiar with, called The Message, also wrote a wonderful book about the prophet Jeremiah some years ago. And I love the way he talks about the word consecrated. There is a spiritual war in progress, he writes. There is evil and cruelty, unhappiness and illness. There is superstition and ignorance, brutality and pain. And God is in a continuous, energetic battle against all of it. God is for life and against death. God is for love and against hate. God is for hope and against despair. God is for heaven and against hell. There is no neutral ground in the universe, he writes. Every square foot of space is being contested. And then he continues. Jeremiah, before he was born, was enlisted to be on God's side in the war. And so are all of you. God is out to win the world in love. And each person has been selected in the same way Jeremiah was. I have a set-apart place that only I can fill, writes Peterson. No one can substitute for me. No one can replace me. Before we were born, he chose us for his side. We are consecrated. So Jeremiah, like you and me, was created to serve God. And he was also, like us, consecrated, set apart, to be on God's side in this world. And then thirdly, God says of Jeremiah that he was appointed. Now the word appointed means literally to be given or to be given away. And some translate this part of the verse, I have given you away as a prophet to the nations. So to be appointed means that you are given for God's service. In other words, God says that Jeremiah is a gift from God to the world. And the same thing is true about you and me. You are God's gift to the world. And don't ever let anybody tell you otherwise. Last summer on one of my first Sundays here, I told you about my call to pastoral ministry. And if you were here, you might remember that I had this dramatic experience the summer before I started eighth grade. I was on a hike with my youth group and I stepped on a nest of yellow jackets. Overcome by the bees that were swarming all over me and stinging me, I tumbled down this steep embankment. And by the grace of God, I survived with only a few scratches. Well, the week after this happened, I was invited to meet with my pastor in his study. He had been on the hike. He had witnessed the whole thing. And that day, with him, I had the first of many conversations which helped me to discover God's call to be a pastor. I was 12 years old, and yet I had this mysterious sense that this is what I was born to do. Now, of course, I've come to see over the years that being a pastor is not my only calling from God. I am also, and importantly, called to be a husband and a father, and now, praise God, a pap-pap. I'm called also to be a neighbor and a friend, and to live as an ambassador for Jesus in many other ways. And what I'm saying is not just true of me, but also of you. God has given you as a gift to the world. God has given you as a gift to your family, to your neighbors. God has given you as a gift to your friends and your coworkers and your fellow students at school. God has given you as a gift even to the stranger that you encounter at the supermarket. You are God's gift. And there is only one person, and that's you, that can be the gift that you are. And so God says to Jeremiah and to you and to me, you are created, you are set apart, you are given away for God's service. And hearing all of those wonderful things that God has to say about us, we might be thinking that Jeremiah is gonna jump up and down and praise God and immediately begin the ministry to which he is called. But then we look at Jeremiah's response in verse 6. Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." Jeremiah isn't so sure he wants to be called of God. He's comfortable being a priest like his father in the little village of Anatoth. He's not qualified. He's not a good talker. He's too young. Jeremiah says, "Adonai, Yahweh, not me." Now we can all relate to Jeremiah, I think. I mean, how many times have you been called to do something that you thought you could never do? Or to respond to some situation that you had hoped you would never find yourself in? How many times has the Lord called you to be with someone in a time of need? To have courage in the face of a storm? To love a difficult neighbor? To fight for something that you knew in your heart to be right? To provide a strong spiritual foundation for a child in a world where so many things can get in the way of that? The truth is, number 3 in the notes, those whom God calls always feel inadequate. There is not a person in the Bible that God ever called that didn't feel inadequate to do what God was calling them to do. And in response to the question that's there in your notes, I think that most of us could probably make quite a list even today of reasons why not to follow God's call to be God's given ones in this world. Whatever your fears may be, there is good news for you in this passage, just as there was for Jeremiah long ago. You see, God's call is always accompanied by the Bible's most frequent command: fear not. Fear not. Verses 7 and 8. But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." One commentator suggests that at the heart of every call is Psalm 23 in verse 4. It's printed there in your notes, and I'd invite you to read that with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. With the call to serve God in whatever form we are called to do that, also comes the assurance that God will overshadow us. That is God's promise. Jeremiah is never on his own, and neither are we. A young woman was packing for her first year at a distant university. Until the very last day at home, she was eager for this adventure to start. But then, as the last suitcase was loaded into the car, tears came to her eyes, and she threw herself into the arms of her parents, and she confessed that she was scared, that she wasn't sure if she could make it, and she told them how much she was going to miss them. And her parents, obviously by now, were also in tears. But in that moment, they presented their daughter with a plaque. And on that plaque was written these words: the word of God will never lead you where the love of God cannot keep you. Perhaps you've heard that before. The word of God will never lead you where the love of God cannot keep you. The plaque remains prominently displayed in this woman's office today. Do not be afraid. I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Not only that, but number 5, God's call always comes with the ability to fulfill the call. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, Jeremiah recalls. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. And then number 6, God's call is always an invitation to join God's mission in making all things new. Now look at the last 2 verses of this passage. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Now notice the action words in these verses. Pluck up and pull down, destroy and overthrow, build and plant. 4 of those 6 verbs are for deconstruction. 2 of them are for construction. The order is everything. Jeremiah's message is that before building and planting, God will pluck up and pull down, destroy and overthrow. That's a tough message. You know, my favorite verse in the whole book of Jeremiah is in chapter 29 and verse 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Now, I love that verse. It was the theme verse for the General Conference of the United Methodist Church a few years ago. We are a people of hope. In Jesus Christ, we believe the best is yet to come. But here's the thing. Before we ever get to Jeremiah 29, again and again and again and again, Jeremiah calls the people of God to search their hearts, to repent of their sins, to turn away from the direction they're headed, and to turn toward the direction that God is calling them to go. Jeremiah lives in a very tumultuous and troubled time, but he threw himself into his appointment and offered a message of hope that God's people needed to hear, but only after they were prepared to hear it. God still calls. God still calls people like you and me to join in His mission in this world. I want to ask you this morning, who are you? And what do you want? I pray that you will listen for the prompting of God in your life. That you will be open to discern what it is that God is calling you to do, not just in a lifelong vocation, but even more in the day-to-day living that God calls you to do. And I pray that as you hear God's call, you will also order your life in such a way that you can go out there and do it. As you love and serve God and those around you, remember, God will never lead you where God's love can't keep you. Amen.